Welcome to KRDO's Business Connection, featuring KRDO's advertisers and partners, the best of Colorado Springs businesses. Sunday mornings at 7 on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM, and streaming live at KRDO.com.
Welcome to KRDO's Business Connection. I'm your host, Andrew Rogers. Joining me on the KRDO Newsline, Dr. Daniel Soteras. He is with Asthma and Allergy Associates here in Colorado Springs, a partner in that practice. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us here on KRDO News Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about this recent case report you wrote talking about prior authorization fatigue syndrome. What is that?
Prior authorization is the process that we go through to get medications approved for patients. Big prior authorizations are medications that could be very expensive over the course of a year, and insurance companies and the pharmaceutical beneficiaries will put our staff through a process that takes hours over the course of several days to get a medication approved for a patient. That might be for asthma. We manage some rare genetic diseases, people with immune system dysfunction. And then there are also everyday asthma inhalers. We can get prior authorizations for those as well. Those usually go a little quicker. It's the big ones that are super time-consuming and very frustrating.
Yeah, and you talk about the delay on this. Not only is it a delay on the staff at clinics like yours over at Asthma and Allergy Associates, but it's really creating undue stress as well for the patients who are on these medications, you know, very regular, need them, a lot of cases, especially in your instance, to breathe and having to worry about if they're going to get that authorization and if they're going to be continuing on with the case treatment that they really need.
Yes. Imagine that we have patients who have severe immune system problems, and they get a monthly infusion of medication that really is the difference between life and death for them. Chronic recurrent infections, chronic illness, chronic recurrent hospitalizations, etc. The medications completely turn their life around. They might do well on that medicine for 1, 2, or 3 years, and then their insurance company changes through their work. They have a change of job, or their spouse does. And that puts us on the hook to change the medication, potentially. The process is extremely frustrating for us and our staff. Our nurses will spend literally hours on the phone on hold. It's never just one phone call and you can just hang in there for an hour and be done. It's always, oh, you need to fax to this number. Oh, that was the wrong fax number. You need to fax to this other number. We've never heard of that authorization before. Let me talk to my supervisor. Random hang-ups. Extremely frustrating process and procedure.
Absolutely.
Many medical offices end up hiring a separate staff member in order to manage this. And smaller practices certainly have difficulty hiring individuals to do this work.
Yeah, and, you know, Dr. Soteras, we know this has been an issue for some time in the medical industry, but really, has the past 2 years, has everything going on with COVID-19 really made it much worse?
At the beginning of COVID, it got easier for maybe 6 months, but it's returned to the mean, and in some cases, gotten harder and harder. The insurance companies often own the pharmacy management companies, so there's a double incentive for them to delay the medications. And this process can delay a patient's medications 1, 2, or 3 months, and sometimes it's just outright denied.
And so what is there to do to fix this? I mean, you know, it's such a, you know, glaring issue, something that really you take a 3,000-foot look at it, and everyone can see that this is a problem. But, you know, with all the bureaucracy, is there a way to actually find a way to navigate this any better?
Right. I think the Colorado Medical Societies, the Medical Group Management Association, they are looking at this and trying to get some leverage with, of course, Congress and state legislatures to try and move things forward. I felt like it was my role. About a year ago, I was meeting a patient with severe asthma, several hospitalizations, 1 or 2 ICU visits. There are 6 medicines that are FDA approved. They can make all the difference in that person's life. It would enable them to hold a steady job, to have their asthma well controlled, to be able to enjoy recreation, concentration, sleep well, you know, enjoy more of their family. And the when I asked my nurses to start working on the prior authorization for the medication, I just saw a look of dread across their face, and I thought, that's not how this should be. We should be thinking, wow, we have all these great medicines to help this person. We're going to write a prescription and make them better. But really, me initiating that with my staff puts them on the hook for multiple hours of work, large and small insults from people all over the globe who are answering these calls, telling you you sent something to the wrong fax number, denying that they ever received anything. Oh, you need to send the chart notes. We send all of this stuff in packets on multiple occasions, and people just act like we never did anything. So it is extremely frustrating. It does inhibit patient care. The insurance companies are making in the hundreds of millions of dollars a year in profit, and they're holding back on their paying customers to get therapies that can completely turn their lives around.
Absolutely. And is this a more of a problem with the PA system when it comes to starting new treatment, or are we seeing this more and more even on routine refills?
Routine refills as well. It really can be under any circumstance.
You know, that is shocking. And if anyone listening wants to reach out, what would be the best person to reach out to advocate for some level of change to be made?
I would say going to the Colorado Medical Societies and to your elected officials to raise awareness about this. I think from the patient side, people get frustrated with us because their medication isn't approved yet, and our hands are tied. You know, we're told to, you know, oh, you called the wrong number. You know, we're doing this on our lunch breaks, after hours, come in early to try and get some of this prior authorization work managed so that we can continue the work of seeing patients on a day-to-day basis, the stuff we really love and enjoy doing.
Absolutely.
So that's another frustration about it.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the frustrations that the patients get, you know, as well. You mentioned that sometimes these are, you know, the sole job of somebody in a practice like yours to do these calls. Obviously, that's not what somebody gets into medicine for, is to deal with this, you know, levels and levels of bureaucracy and to spend all day on the phone dealing with call centers, for lack of a better term, really to get there and change the life of patients. And yet, you know, that could probably lead to a lot of burnout as well and a lot of very stressful situations.
Absolutely, it does. The burnout issue in physicians, I think, has become, you know, highlighted over the past year or two. This is another factor contributing to it. We can see the solution so clearly in the medications that are available. The only barrier are the half a dozen hurdles put in front of us of filling out inane paperwork, resending the same information to multiple different contacts. So it is very frustrating. I really don't know who to call to fix it. I just know that, you know, I saw this happening in my office. I wrote an article that got published on KevinMD. I was able to, since then, I've seen an article about a patient's cancer chemotherapy that was delayed due to prior authorization, probably hastening their death. I've seen articles from the MGMA, something in the New England Journal of Medicine. So other people are starting to pay attention to this. I coined the phrase prior authorization fatigue syndrome because the look in my nurse's eyes was like somebody with post-trauma stress disorder. I mean, every time they go through this, it is guaranteed that they will be insulted, delayed, pushed to another call center, given a different fax number, changed the confirmation number. We keep meticulous records on this now. I've spent 30 minutes on hold, being transferred from one number to the next to try and talk to another provider. They do have sometimes an option where it can be a peer-to-peer saying, me as a physician can speak with another healthcare provider about the situation and why the medication should be approved. I've spent 30 or 40 minutes of my time on hold waiting to speak with that peer and actually never getting to talk with somebody. So it is extremely frustrating at many levels.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of people like to kind of compare the healthcare system here in the U.S. to other nations. And is this kind of pre-authorization cycles, is this something that's a uniquely American problem, or is this something that's really being seen in the global healthcare industry?
I am not aware of it as a global healthcare issue. It seems uniquely American.
Dr. Daniel Soteras, thank you so much for joining us here, talking about the prior authorization fatigue, a lot of issues going on. Again, for more information, just find that survey, that article that Dr. Soteras wrote, or reach out to the Colorado Medical Board for some kind of ways to advocate for change. Doctor, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you. Take care. Have a good day.